All right, welcome back. Second half hour of Who's Talking Tonight as we take you up to the 7 o'clock tip or moments thereafter down at the Smith Center. The Who's obviously with a big game tonight against North Carolina down in Chapel Hill as we try to get a win coming off the first loss of the season against Duke. As we said earlier, Frank Maloney actually on site down there in North Carolina, so he'll have a firsthand report to bring back to us next Monday night. Terry Gates has been kind enough to join me in studio, so you don't have to listen to Hobbo exclusively tonight. That wouldn't have been very much fun. We're certainly more than willing to hear from you. 345-0910. If you have a comment about the Duke game, a question about the North Carolina game, or as you look ahead on the schedule to, as Terry said, Louisville, or anybody else go from this point forward. So, Terry, North Carolina tonight, we've talked a little bit about it. Obviously, they're really big. They rebound the basketball extremely well, so that'll be a key priority for the Hoos. And I'm sure the other thing that Tony Bennett has emphasized, Duke really, particularly in the first half, did a great job pushing the ball down the floor.
Right,
and nobody likes to do that more than North Carolina. Yep. So certainly Virginia going to have to cut that off tonight if they're going to win.
No, there's no celebrating after a score because it's out of the net and from ever. As long as I've watched them play, it's up the floor, and they put pressure on you immediately. So that's one thing that the Virginia didn't do so well on Saturday night, and that's one thing that I'm sure there's plenty of emphasis on tonight, to stop the basketball, make them set up and run their offense to get the points.
Yeah, if Virginia is able to force them into a half-court set, I think Virginia would have an excellent chance of slowing the tempo and getting the score in the range that what they would like. But you're absolutely right. How many times have you seen one team score against Carolina and almost seconds later Carolina's laying it up at the other end? They fast break not only off missed baskets, but they fast break on other teams' made baskets.
Right.
So they're terrific at that, and all the way down to the fact that they have nets that release the ball,
right,
so they can do that. So nothing by accident down there in Chapel Hill. Obviously, Marcus Page, a guy that Virginia's going to have to focus on as well. He's the one, well, not the one, but certainly a key perimeter shooter that North Carolina has.
Well, he shoots the majorities of their threes. He's 55 for 141. That's 39%. So he's their leading scorer, 14.2. He runs the show, and you know, they need him to, you know, he's a big cog in their offense. They average almost 80 points a game. So this is a game of styles. Is it going to be to 60 or is it going to be to 80? And it doesn't bode well for Virginia. This game gets in the 70s, the upper 70s or 80, because it's not one they're just not really equipped to take.
And you know, as we said, defensive rebounding. You know, I mean, and I think part of the slowing the tempo, Virginia needs to execute their offense, not take the early shot. You know, sometimes you can get caught in that trap of Carolina. They start playing faster, and all
right,
of a sudden Virginia brings it into the offensive end. And just because you have an open look doesn't mean Tony wants you to take it right away.
No, but sometimes, you know, as you sit up there in the stands and you see somebody after, you know, 15, 20 seconds and four or five passes, you're wide open. You've cut across the lane. You've got movement. They're not locked in on the defensive rebound. You really want to scratch your head sometime. I know you're just yelling shoot, but you know,
hey,
it's hard.
I never met a shot I didn't like.
But you know, some of these kids are wide open. You know, and Perantes is one of them. Sometimes, you know, Wilkins was open at the elbow against that 2-3, and he lets it fly. And you don't want anyone, especially a first year kid, thinking about what he's doing. If he's open, he's comfortable with the shot. You know, he needs to take it. It's a little different when you're third or fourth year, when you're Brogdon or you're Anderson, where you can be a little more selective. But if the Shyocks of the world and the Wilkins of the world, the Nolte's of the world, if they're open after four or five, six, you know, passes, I think they need to shoot.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, obviously Isaiah Wilkins has taken a step forward. He seems to be off the Bennett bench pretty early in the rotation now. So what are your thoughts about his development?
I think he's taken advantage of Gill's, you know, Anthony Gill's foul trouble. He's had four or five games where he picks up two in the first half and he goes to the bench, and a lot of them are silly fouls or just, you know, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that provides an opportunity for Isaiah to come in and play.
Yeah, and it looks like, you know, he he's confident enough to go ahead and shoot the basketball when he has the opportunity as well.
Well, I'd hope anyone out there is confident enough, you know, that plays for Virginia on this team, that's confident enough to get their shot off. I mean, it may not be the right thing to do. It may not be what the coach wants, but you should have the, you know, confidence to get that ball up on the rim.
And what, you know, the one disappointment this year, and not to single anybody out, but Evan Nolte, is his issue between the ears? Is he just kind of psyched himself out? Because, I mean, he's a guy, he could really help. You know, like the other night against the 2-3 zone against Duke, it would be nice, you know, ideally, you would have thought before the season he would have been the type of guy that you bring off the bench against that zone to try to find some opportunities to spot up and shoot the basketball. But I think he's shooting about 20% from outside the three-point line.
Well, I think it was partly his, you know, efficiency shooting the basketball, but I think Mariel Shayok has shot the ball well, and that he stole some playing time. So, you know, it's kind of like when one person is not playing well and someone else has the opportunity. And I think, Shayok is averaging, let's see, he's averaging about 4.3 points a game overall. And he's had a couple zeros here down the stretch in the last two games, but that's okay. I think he has benefited from the playing time that has come from what could have been Evans.
Well, clearly he's a guy that can come in and shoot the basketball. Anyway, we got Gary on line one. Gary's out in Glen Allen. Gary, we appreciate the call. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hey, guys. I listen to your show every Monday. A great show.
Thank you.
You know, I was at the game Saturday night, and it just appeared to me, you know, and I'm sure you guys have been to games in Charlottesville, that every TV timeout, when I'm watching, it's neither a player or a Coach K that are talking to the officials. Every TV timeout. And obviously they're telling them, you know, watch for this, watch for that, watch for this, you know. But also, I felt Duke got up and down the court, not with the dribble, with the pass. And Virginia didn't get back. That hurt them quite a bit. And, you know, they had that open, you're listening to the show earlier, somebody's got to make that shot time and time again at the free throw line, because that shot was wide open all night.
Well, certainly against a 2-3 zone it was, yes.
Yeah, and Francis, he has a lot of open shots. He's got to take them.
Well, that's the point Terry was making a little bit earlier, you know, because he clearly has the ability to make shots, and, you know, you don't want people sagging off of you in that situation. So he would certainly help the team overall if he was maybe a little more aggressive on the offensive end. I know he's a pass-first kind of guy.
New Jeff Jones, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is it not the confidence, or why doesn't he take them?
I think it's just the system they're trying to run, and he's been told, you know, to do this, and we're trying to wear them out by making them guard us, but I know what exactly you're saying. It's frustrating because he has shown the ability to knock that shot down. He was having problems early in the year, but he seems to have gotten his confidence back. But, you know, I think with Anthony Gill kind of struggling, he went from about 11 points a game to 7.5. I think they need that third option. And, you know, we don't always see that third option out there on the floor. And I agree with you. I think he's probably the best verse to do that.
Now, is Toby a sophomore?
No, he's third year.
He's a junior.
But he's like 19.
He looks like he's 12. he grew the facial hair, so it does make him look a little bit.
Yeah, he had a rough one, but you had to understand who was standing next to him.
I understand. I just think he needs to get tougher. As big as he is, he just doesn't look as tough as I think he can be. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
I think 15 months from, let's say 13 months from now, I think you'll see a difference. I mean, he has grown each year into what he's doing, and that's a tough position to play if you don't have great springs in your leg, and you're playing really some wonderful athletes in the middle there from time to time, and they're quick, mm-hmm. and they're quicker than you are, and you're only going to 10 feet. You know, if you're going to 11 or something, that might mitigate it. But, you know, sometimes you're almost shooting down at the basket. And he's got good hands and he got a good outside touch. But you're right. There are times this year, and you can see it on his face when he slaps his hands. And I won't repeat what is on his lips because you can read it from where I sit.
Yeah, I can read it.
But you know, I want a guy doing that because, you know, he wants to do well. And it's just I can say from in my days, I mean, if you get a ball inside like that against the Duke, you don't have a lot of time to think about it. You got to get that ball back up on the rim. If you think about it or head fake, it's coming back the other way.
But he is 7 foot, right? Or is he 6'11"?
He's 7 foot, and that's why he's out there. And I think, you know, he is one of the keys where if this team is to get better and be successful, he has room to improve.
Now, my last question, when Duke hit that three-pointer to take the lead by, what was it, 65 to 62 maybe, I think it was?
Yeah, it was a 66-63. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Quinn okay. Cook, a minute 20 to go, made it 66-63.
Yeah, but my wife sitting next to me, she goes, that took the air right out of Virginia. She knew right then. She sat back in her seat and said, they're done. Were you at the game and notice that? I didn't, but she certainly did.
Well, it ends up with Mike Toby going to shoot a 1-1. And he misses it, and he gets the rebound and misses it, and then there's a jump ball, and then misses another layup. So, you know, he had a lot of action there in like 20 seconds and came up empty. And I think if anyone was really down in the locker room, it might be Mike Toby. And I think they need to play tomorrow. I think for him coming off the bench, there's a certain pressure when you come off the bench to do something good, something positive. And I think if you start the game, you can kind of work your way into it. But there is some pressure to come in, make something happen, make a shot where you don't have that if you're out there in the starting five. But
So if they start him, you think his confidence will improve?
I think that, you know, he doesn't have to force things, and I think he does force things, and they need him to force things. If you're going to get the ball inside, if you're going to work it around, you need him to get that hook shot off. And he was so close. I mean, if one of those layups goes in that 20 seconds and you're down by one, everything changes.
Well, I think, you look at the play-by-play, and I think Tony Bennett may have sensed the same thing you did because he called a timeout with a minute 14 to go. So he tried to set something up. Toby got fouled, unfortunately missed the front end of the 1-1. And even though Virginia got the offensive rebound, still was not able to score. I think part of
he got the offensive rebound and he missed it. And then it was a jump ball. And then it just, oh my God.
But, I think Duke, you know, made the comeback, and you're playing at home. And I think throughout the evening, you were there. You probably had a sense Virginia was going to win the game, and with that late Duke surge, all of a sudden, I think everybody in the building thought, "Oh my goodness, we're possibly going to lose this game."
Yeah, I mean, they're up by 11. I'm thinking, all right. And my son's sitting next to me, and he's a Duke fan. I'm like, you might as well go to the car now, buddy. But I heard your comments earlier that they got to limit the offensive rebounds. I'm pretty sure in that game Virginia got more offensive rebounds than Duke.
Well, we were talking about, you know, in general, but we were, I think, talking about tonight's game against Carolina just because of the matchup against Carolina. You know, with Duke, I thought Virginia did a good job of limiting Okafor to some degree. But, you know, my attitude, I mean, every guy Duke puts out on the floor is a McDonald's All-American, and, you know, they're all really skilled. And you saw the skill level of those guards at the end of the game with the shots that they knocked down at key moments.
And I felt their guards were quicker than ours. I thought their guards got around ours fairly easy.
They're maybe a little shorter, too. So what they're giving up in height and size, they made up in quickness. You were right. Virginia had 15 offensive. 15 of their 35 rebounds were offensive, and Duke had 11 of their 34. And Mr. Toby had 4. Offensive rebound. So,
Well, the good thing is tonight they're not going to see. Carolina does not play defense like Duke. You know, and I think Virginia will be okay if they can, you know, limit the fast breaks, slow it down, because Duke beat them with the pass. They didn't beat them with the dribble.
My attitude has been, I love Tony to death. You look at his record, he's still 40-4, I think, since last January 1st, two of the four losses to Duke, so we got to figure that one out, although we did beat him in the ACC tournament last year. But the way we play, particularly against a good team, a lot of games are going to come down to that last 3 minutes plus, the under 4 minute dead ball timeout, and then it really becomes execution.
And making plays,
And Virginia's done so well. I mean, you can see the last 5-6 minutes of the Notre Dame game, some of these games, they just shut down the other team. They didn't score.
Hopefully the game on Saturday was the aberration.
Yeah, well, you knew they weren't going to go undefeated. You're right. They're a very good basketball team, but they're going to have some bumps in the road, and this is one of them. If they go 2-2 in their next, and if they go 2-2 in these four games, this four game stretch, I mean, you look at the rest of their schedule, they'll be virtually favored in every game they play going forward.
Right, until you get to the Louisville game at the end.
At Louisville.
Yeah.
We play at Louisville?
Last game at Saturday, okay. March 7th.
Okay, so, yeah. So, I mean, getting that Duke win, this game scared me more than the Duke game.
I agree with you. That was my attitude, and I guess the thing that really hurts about the Duke game, and we got to go to our last break here, but the fact that we sort of had a feeling in the second half that we had that game under control,
yeah.
And also if we beat them, we have a two game lead in the loss column
right.
over the rest of the field in the ACC. That's what happens. That's why you play the game.
That was a caged tiger because, you know, if they lose, they're 4-4. Now they're 5-3. Suleiman had just got jettisoned. So it was kind of a make-or-break game for Duke. And it's same way with Carolina. If Carolina wants to compete for the championship, the regular season championship, they can't lose this game tonight.
And you know, by March.
I think it's the same way with Virginia.
Right.
Yeah. But Duke could very easily be a Final Four team by the end of the season with the talent they have.
I really think Duke, Virginia, and Louisville can all be Final Four teams.
I don't know about Louisville, but you know, don't forget Notre Dame. Notre Dame's pretty good too.
You're right, Notre Dame. But I mean, Carolina's not because they, at times, they look like a girls' basketball team. And at times they look like a team they can beat everybody.
Well, hopefully they'll look like a girls' team tonight. But anyway, Gary,
I would never have said that on the air. But anyway.
But we appreciate the call.
We can laugh at it.
Thanks for your support of the show and the Hoos. All right, final break. We'll be back with the Olympic report and final comments and preview next week's show when we return.